It's a Woman Crush Wednesday. Join Professor Buzzkill as he crushes on women from history who deserve more fame and glory.
Yes, indeedy. It is a Wednesday, and often in the Buzzkill Institute, that means it's a Woman Crush Wednesday. And here we are talking about a very overlooked woman who needs much, much more attention. But fortunately for us, Professor Phil Nash is here from Penn State because this is a 20th century topic. It's a World War II topic, and he is our buzz-killing expert. How are you, Professor?
I'm doing great, and I'm loving this topic because this is someone who really does deserve more attention than she has received.
Okay, and who is it that deserves
her
more attention?
Her name is Irene Gut Opdyke.
Opdyke.
And if that sounds like a name from two continents, that's because it is.
Oh, okay.
Her original name is Irene Gut, G-U-T. She is a Catholic Pole. She's born in Kozienice. I always have to look up how to pronounce these Polish place names.
Kozienice.
Poland. She's born in 1922. Her family moves to Radom, which is a fairly good-sized Polish city, in 1939. She enrolls in nursing school, and that 1939, of course, is when World War II breaks out,
right.
And
this
the Germans and
deal.
The Soviets invade and conquer Poland. Fast forward to 1942, she witnesses a German soldier kill an infant, which happened a lot more than you might think. In other words, not just killing masses of people that include infants, but also individually killing infants. Yes, that happened a lot, actually. And this apparently was, according to her account, was transformative. This really shook her up and motivated her to do something.
Oh, yeah. Especially she's a nurse and she's...
Sure.
Yeah.
She ends up working in a hotel kitchen for a Wehrmacht major by the name of Eduard Rügemeyer.
Yeah.
So he's not SS. He's German Army.
Yeah.
And right away in this position, she starts smuggling food to Jews who are in the Tarnopol ghetto. Right.
That's a ghetto within...
German-occupied Poland.
Gotcha.
And of course, by this point, the Germans have invaded the Soviet Union, so all of Poland is now under German control.
Gotcha. Okay.
And so this is obviously way behind the front lines, but this is, the Germans have started to round up Jews and ghettoize them all across Poland and the Western Soviet Union. So these people are essentially systematically starved. So she's smuggling food to them. She then smuggles a few Jews out of the ghetto into the forest and smuggles food to them as well. So she is
upping her game,
right? Yeah. She is getting much more involved. All of this, by the way, even smuggling food to Jews in the ghetto would get you summary execution.
Right.
Let's keep in mind the penalty she's risking here. All she's not like looking at a fine or
and
whatever.
And she's talk about doing this under the nose. Of,
right. It gets better. Rügemeyer asks Gut to become his
Rügemeyer,
house.
Again, her
Her boss, right. This is a German, he's a major. He's
major.
A relatively junior officer. Asks Gut to become his housekeeper in the villa he had taken over. So he's enough of a big shot that he gets his own confiscated villa, basically.
Which is a pretty big property.
Pretty big property. And then he brings her with him to be his housekeeper.
Mm-hmm.
She then sets about, and you can't make this up. This is where truth is stranger than fiction. She sets about... getting in contact with individual Jews who are in hiding and moving them into his house, into his cellar.
Wait, into his house?
Into his house. So, well,
the belly of
so
the beast?
Basically, in the belly of the beast, that's what I always say, it's the belly of the beast. She is in the first and second and maybe third floor, she's living this one life as his housekeeper. And down in the basement, she is protecting 12, up at one point, there are 12 Jews hiding there.
Holy cow.
And she gets away with this for a while, months at least.
Yeah.
And they would come out of the cellar when he wasn't around to help her clean the house.
Well, okay.
Which is also, I mean, why not, right?
But I sometimes wonder whether she might have done this because she could figure it might be actually safer for them there because
who would
no
think
German
to look
would
there?
Think to, yeah,
that's a good question. I wonder. It is almost sort of like diabolical in its cleverness.
Yeah.
Right. In other words, don't hide people you think you right where you'd expect them to be hidden, and vice versa. Unfortunately, this was too good to last. Rügemeyer catches her.
Ah.
And then
the house is a little too clean, and he
I forget. I've read her book, but I forgot how he caught her. But he did catch her, and then he basically blackmails her.
Oh.
And basically says, "You become my mistress, or I turn you in."
All right. Well, we see where his motivations
Well, exactly. Now, I mean, depending on how you look at this, he deserves a little bit of credit because if anyone on the outside, the SS, for example, found out that he had found her out and not turned her in.
Yes, he'd be.
He would have been in a world of hurt. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, he is also taking advantage of the situation and basically exploiting her. And then to her credit is she goes along.
Yeah.
In other words, so let's keep in mind what's going on here. This is without her consent. So
this is essentially her subjecting
herself to repeated rapes in order to protect these Jews in the cellar.
This is self-sacrifice.
This
in a
is
major
a self-sacrifice that I personally cannot get my head around.
No, yeah, just, it's amazing.
Just how amazing this is. She ends up fleeing west with several of the Jews at the end of the war. Luckily for her, she ends up in the western segment of occupied Germany. So, in other words, the part occupied by the Western Allies, including the Americans. She ends
up in eventually becomes West Germany.
Right, exactly. Right, okay. She ends up in what was called a DP camp, a camp for displaced persons, which are basically Holocaust survivors.
Right.
And other refugees. Later, she meets and marries a fellow by the name of William Opdyke, who is a UN official. He's an American who works for the United Nations.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And so she
meets
ends up...
Meets him in Germany.
Meets him in Germany, and they end up getting married, and they raise a family in New York City.
Wow.
She, as far as I can tell, she doesn't really talk much about her story until the 1970s.
Mm-hmm.
When I found this out, it was fascinating, because I used to bring a Holocaust survivor to class, and he is also someone... He survived Auschwitz and also one of the death marches, which is amazing.
Wow.
And he kept it bottled up, went about his life, never ever talked about the Holocaust.
Until
about the same time, like her, he found out about this thing called Holocaust denial.
Yeah.
And so, in other words, what they have in common is they're both sort of set off by the fact that they find out there are people publicly denying that this happened. And so she then started giving public talks. People researched her story. In 1982, she was declared a righteous among the nations by Yad Vashem.
Uh-huh, which is a very, very important distinction.
Right,
very
this
important.
Is like you've been officially sort of recognized by Israel's Holocaust commemorative institution as a non-Jew who rescued Jews, which by definition entailed great risk. Not as great of the risk as she incurred, but it's inherently a risky activity. And she's obviously one of the bravest, one of the most courageous. She then later publishes a memoir, and we'll put this on the book Buzzkill bookshelf,
I hope. That's right. Yeah.
Not published until 1999. It's called In My Hands, Memories of a Holocaust Rescuer. And it tells her story from her point of view, obviously. It's a fantastic book. So, not only a fantastic story, but a fantastic book, and I highly recommend it. She is, they're all righteous, but she, if you look at what she did, the risks she took, it's pretty remarkable. I am shocked personally that this has not been made into a movie yet.
Yes, as you were talking about, I was thinking this is perfect for a movie.
Hollywood is always going to mess with it, but this is a story where if you just told it straight, it's amazing. It really is. And she deserves, like I said, a lot more attention than I think she has gotten.
Well, there you have it, Buzzkillers. Another example of someone who deserves more historical attention and might start to get it. Talk to you next week.